Blog Talk Radio.
Another podcast discussion with 2019 candidate Reuben Dockery. Yours truly. Grateful to be here with you and to have this opportunity to engage with you, the constituents of Nashville, Davidson County, yet again this Friday night, July 12th, 2019. It's your time, and we opened up the phone lines here. 657-383-0944. That's how you can call in right now to the studio and engage us in some informative education, voter education. That's really what this is all about. All right? If you're following us on live stream on Facebook, feel free to call us here. We encourage you to call me. I encourage you to call me at 657-383-0944. And or to post your question or comment via Facebook live here. All right? A couple of details we want to share with you before we get going, and that is that my website is constituentadvocacy.com. As you no doubt know, early voting has started already today. As a matter of fact, ended at 5:30. And it goes through July 27th. So we have two more podcasts in addition to tonight. And so we want to make sure that you, the voters, have an opportunity to engage with me. It's designed for you to ask me all the tough questions. I don't believe you should vote for anyone that you don't have an opportunity to vet and to at least challenge to some degree. So I feel free. Don't hesitate to give me a call here, 657-383-0944. We would still love to have your financial support for the Dockery for Metro Council campaign. You can go to the website, Constituent Advocacy. You see it perhaps behind you on the board behind me. And when you get there, you'll see the link to make your contribution. Naturally, it is appreciated. It enables us to get the word out to more of our voters and to remind them. So I want to encourage you to come see us. Brief announcement, tomorrow you can meet me at one or two places, I'll be at the Bordeaux Public Library doing a presentation for the Royal Hills Neighborhood Association, talking about how we intend to work collectively with individual council members in the Metro Council and my role as a council-at-large person. All right, so you have an opportunity to see that live in person. Doing a very brief presentation before they continue to do the business of their regular meeting. Grateful for the invitation to come. And then you can meet me at the Howard Office Building at 700 2nd Avenue North. I will be there from around 1 o'clock to 4 p.m. And you can meet me, talk to us, but more importantly, go cast your vote. And I ask you humbly to vote Reuben Dockery. I'd be your choice of five. I humbly ask you to make me your first choice. You do that, then we can do some things that can help all of us in the long run, all right? Okay, now that we got those things, if you follow us on Facebook Live with the live stream, feel free to share this and post this on your timeline and share with your friends and those that are in your bandwidth here. This is Reuben Dockery, 2019 candidate for council at large for the general election on August 1st. 2019. I think I've covered everything. We've talked, had the pleasure this week of attending several functions, one of which was the Davidson County Young Democrats and Women's Forum, as well as the League of Women Voters Forum. great conversation with all, attended a presentation from the Nashville Civic Center. We a lot of conversation about the growth there and the money that's coming into the city. And Mr. Spiridon and I spoke. He did agree to come on, but he could not make it this episode. But they're working. We communicated earlier today, and I expect that they're working to see which of the next two episodes he can actually come on and speak directly about the attempt to dispel some of the myths and some of the facts. They were very open and transparent at their briefing of the candidates earlier this week, and I appreciate that. And I told him I think it would go a long way for him, for the constituents, to hear from him directly. So we hope that he will be able to join us in one of our next episodes. We'll make way for him to come on and to share that information. All right. I think we got past a lot of the most important heavyweight. Most important thing, tonight, you can give me a call in the studio at 657-383-0944, and I am happy and delighted to be able to respond to you and to get us where we can have the information that's necessary. And when I talk about voter education, I'm not meaning to suggest that anyone is ill-informed or is ignorant in any way. As it is, I have found that there are many good people are very busy living their lives, and they rely on those people who they have voted for or they expect to provide leadership in government to take care of business and keep everybody informed. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen a lot. So the purpose of this voter education piece for my campaign is to open up dialogue and the opportunity for you to perhaps ask questions about things that you may not have clarity on. Trust that I have, again, taken the effort to go and find the answers as best we can. Those that we don't have for you tonight, we'll be happy to go and get for you. But I think you will find that this will be a very fruitful engagement here on this live podcast discussion with Ruben Dockery. We've invited several people to join us tonight, so with a little luck, they will. Nonetheless, we progress and continue on. All right. So all across Davidson County, there are varying educational, economic, and even social needs, neighborhood to neighborhood. Okay? It's not a one-size-fits-all for every neighborhood. It's important to note that the smallest delineation for the political boundaries is the voting precinct that you are part of, that you're assigned to by the Metro Council. All right? The fault lines for determining where constituents actually go to cast their vote beginning today and over the next 2 weeks or so. Things like how resources are allocated for your neighborhood, for your community. Talk about sidewalks and public safety, things of that nature. How monies are allocated for every voting precinct and council district. And then, most importantly, who represents you in the legislative process? Okay, how is that determined? One factor for low voter turnout in an election, we've seen a lot of this in Tennessee, is the fact that there is a lack of a unified vision and understanding agreement, particularly among individuals within a given voting precinct. What we see is that this leads to a breakdown in communication and ultimately apathy toward the electoral process. The assumption is they're going to do what they want to anyway. My voice doesn't matter, and I just don't care. I'm a lookout for me. Okay. Subsequently, everybody is harmed, especially those who are the least among us. Now, tonight, the phone lines are open, and I'll be checking to see if someone is calling in, have a question, comment, want a dialogue. But I'm just going to give you a little historical backdrop on the two-party system. Our topic is how can voting precincts become unified? How can people who may identify themselves as conservative or liberal, Democrat, Republican, how can they be unified in one agenda for the residents, constituents, their respective voting precinct, collectively, the council district, and the national community as a whole? That's really what we need. We need a mature voice in the council that is going to look out for the interests of everybody despite any particular party affiliation or affirmation. All right? Because Nashville-Davidson County is a form of government that is intended to run on a nonpartisan basis. Okay? Everybody should be able to grow, should be able to thrive, and live happy in Nashville-Davidson County. That is ultimately the goal. I'm confident that we can get there. That is the leadership I bring to bear for Metro Council over the next 4 years. I had the pleasure of speaking with some of the other candidates that run for council at large. I invited them to call. If you're listening, if you're following us, give us a call. It's 657-383-0944. There is a place for you as well. Win or lose, a draw. We're all residents of Nashville. And at the end of the day, whether I win or not, what we're talking about is most important. That is for us to be unified as a city, as a metropolitan government. All right? That being said, we're going to get to share some information with you. Okay? I want to begin by briefly introducing the party system that has existed in America and bring that back to the point of where we are in Nashville-Davidson County and some of the challenges that we face. Okay? And allow me to share with you that the first party system began around 1792 to 1824, and it featured what was known as the Federalist Party and the Democratic Republican Party. Yes, it was the Democratic Republican Party and the Federalist Party, okay, or also called the Democratic Republican Party, was also known as the Jeffersonian Republican. Then from 1828 to about 1854, you had the splintering of the Democratic Republican Party, and there were two major dominated groups in this landscape, okay, at this point, after they began to split, the Jeffersonian Party. Then you have the Whig Party, as they called themselves, led by Henry Clay, and the Democratic Party, which became led by former President Andrew Jackson. Interestingly enough, he has ties to Nashville-Davidson County, the Hermitage area of Nashville-Davidson County. Hermitage and Donelson is where Andrew Jackson's home is today. And you might know that Andrew Jackson's son-in-law, John Donelson, married Andrew Jackson's daughter, hence the Hermitage and the Donelson area, named after John Donelson, who was the son-in-law of Andrew Jackson. There's a little history there. All right? But then by 1854 and 1890, the third party system that emerged and operated from about 1854 to the mid-1890s was mostly identified and characterized by the Anti-Slavery Republican Party, which the very first president or candidate ran for president to represent this party was Abraham Lincoln. They fought for the ending of the economic system of slavery in America. All right? Along with that party at this time was the Democratic Party that was started by Andrew Jackson in 1824. These became two emerging major parties. And there were splinter groups prior to that, and still some splinter issues in this time frame. Then you had the fourth party system from about 1896 to 1932. They had the similar interests. Again, there were some varying concerns that were of debate among those different groups, even internally within the Democratic Democratic Party and the then Grand Old Party, as they call it, which was the party of Abraham Lincoln. And that emerged to the fifth and the sixth parties that we've seen from 1933 to present. So you still had a faction of the Democratic Party, Andrew Jackson Democratic Party, which became more notable as the New Deal Coalition. Okay? And as you well know, no doubt, that in the 30s during the Great Depression, the Democratic Party took great aims at addressing a lot of the socioeconomic challenges at that time. From their unions were started, focused on the role of government to support those that were poverty stricken and challenged, and military people and so forth and so on, derived from that. Then the Republican Party, or the Lincoln Grand Old Party, continued on its path, basically. They somewhat lost ground because the New Deal coalition of the Democratic Party had such a large tent or base of interest and concern that they identified, and for a long time they controlled Congress. By the mid-50s or so, 1950s, many people believe that the Democratic Party became too liberal, too free and open. Many of them left and became part of the Grand Old Party or Republican Party, a more conservative base of thought in Congress. And that has permeated from the national level to the state level and local level. Okay? On the state level, during those elections, general elections for state, you have a primary to determine who those two parties, Democrat and Republican, are going to put up to represent them in the general election. And then there may be an independent. But on the local election, in your municipal election, it is strictly a nonpartisan election. Those elected who may be associated or affiliated with conservative or liberal values, the intent is for them to represent the interests of all people in their respective county or municipal government. Okay? And if one party's ideas dominate, it can cause stress or strain for individuals who belong to another. So this kind of goes back to the fact that the United States itself, the Constitution, it does not say anything. In fact, it's silent on the subject of political parties. Okay? And the framers did not intend for American politics to evolve into partisan, into a partisan nature. It was not their intent. In fact, if you read the Federalist Paper number 9 and number 10, you'll find that Alexander Hamilton and James Madison both addressed the dangers of domestic political factions developing, even though they did, and they are here now. Sounds somewhat hypocritical of Congress early on. In fact, another historical tidbit is the very first president, George Washington, did not belong to a party. Before he got elected, during his time as president, or after, in fact, in his final farewell address, he strongly encouraged the country to guard themselves from going in the direction of partisanship. So he feared that it would cause stagnation for America. And that's where I want to park tonight. The fact that Nashville, Davidson County have some very serious and specific challenges. With all due respect to, again, political parties that are established, individuals that are representative of them, irregardless of what your political identification is, what Nashville needs in the city council is leadership that will address the sum total needs of all of us outside of partisanship. We've had a rather tumultuous last 4 years. It is what it is. And frankly, we don't need to go back any further. There's an opportunity for us to grow, for us to make the necessary corrections without pointing fingers, but being mature and responsible about decision-making moving forward. As a social scientist, that is the mindset that I bring in the role as a counselor large person. And that is to work toward bringing consensus building from neighborhood to neighborhood. As I made reference to earlier, the concerns, the heartstrings of constituents in the Hermitage Donaldson area are different, and that's perfectly fine, than those that are in North Nashville and Antioch and parts of East Nashville. Because some neighborhoods are well established as residential areas. Some of them fall under what's known as the general service district, where there are limited services provided. Others under the urban service district, where there are more comprehensive services based on the taxation there, right? Many people are at our forums earlier this week, the question came up often about the fear and the threat of raising property taxes. Well, and I explained that after a briefing with the Property Tax Assessor's Office, I learned in detail how that works. And bottom line is that property taxes are not affected, yours, if they've been already assessed and you haven't made any additions or anything of that nature on your property. It remains the same, despite the fact that if there's new development or new construction, it will be taxed on the new tax assessment basis that happens every 3 years, just before 3 or 4 years in that cycle. The only group, not the governor, not the state legislature, it's the only body that has the authority to set the what's called the certified tax rate is the Metro Council. And proactively, as they prepare a budget over a 4-year span, it is my view that they should look very carefully about how and when we should engage you, the constituents, about when and how much the certified tax rate needs to be to pay first in priority our public service work, police, firemen, teachers, sanitation workers, and all those people that make the city go. Then we look at what's left to be able to cover any other expenses. Okay? There are a lot of programs that people have wish lists for, and perhaps council people have constituents who want certain things done. It's perfectly fine, but we have to have a mature eye at a realistic budget that is based on funds that we have available, based on being able to tax the constituents. Most importantly, I'm convinced that if people understand that our city needs certain things, even if they're in the pension, it's going to affect a lot of people, right? Then there may be some special considerations there as well. But I think if the constituents and the voters understand the necessity for raising a tax, it's a lot easier for them to digest it, okay, or to tolerate it even, especially they can see that they're getting benefit from it. But one of the key things is there are other funding sources, such as federal funds that come to the city and state funds that we may qualify for. One particular case in point is with the transit system. For years, Metro has depended on a state grant to help supplement that budget for the transit system. Well, I learned that because this go-around, the state did not award that grant to Metro, and apparently there was no backup plan for replacing it, the decision was made by leadership to cut certain routes. Well, earlier this week, I was talking to a lady from Madison area. She made it very clear that, hey, she sees buses that are totally empty, 2 or 3 people on them. Whereas in Antioch, the bus system is challenging. In Bordeaux, there people have to walk as far as a mile to get to a bus. So what it suggests is that there's a need to look at that again and evenly distribute those resources based on where the greater needs are. I'm not there, so what has happened prior to now, I can't speak for. I'm sharing with you the approach that, again, I bring to the role of Councilor Lark. realize that you just have one vote as a council large person. But the real potential and strength of a proactive, responsive council person in the council large role is to be able to be a negotiator and a consensus builder, as I said earlier, working with each of the other 39 members of council to bring legislation that is holistic, that is responsive, and that is practical for all of Nashville. All right. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Give us a call now. We got time. We still got time. We have another about 30 minutes or so before we wrap up here tonight. But I want you to give me a call and shoot your questions or comments. I think that I know, in fact, that there are a lot of good people who have ideas and positions, but it seems as though there's no room for them to be recognized. And hence we have a situation where people feel marginalized. They feel as though their voice is not heard. So the more council people, elected officials, they be open and transparent, just like we do when we're trying to run for office, we keep knocking on your door, keep your attention and make you aware. And I don't mean annoy you now, but to keep you aware and make sure that there's a process in place by which you can get the information. And you've heard me talk about on previous shows my precinct governance council model, which is a perfect means by which you can do that. And that leads me into my website, where you can find these things. Let's go there just for a second as we wait on you all to call us here. That website is constituentadvocacy.com. And let me reiterate the fact that naming it that was intentional, because the focus is not on Reuben Dockery as a candidate, but you, the constituent, how I can advocate on your behalf. Metro Council. All right? But we have the page, constituentadvocacy.com. You see this ugly guy, fathead guy there. That's your candidate, though. He's fathead, but he's ready to work for you. All right? If you want to learn more about me, click on Meet the Candidate. I want to draw your attention to the platform. You can see three PowerPoint presentations that address the three principal priorities that I have over the next 4 years, working again at the consensus building with each council person, and that is addressing issues with the challenges with education. And I don't just mean in the brick and mortar sense in the school system, but in the family, in the neighborhood, in the communities. There's a model there that we offer and that I think we can benefit from. And then economic development, typically geared toward those of our constituents who perhaps dropped out of high school, don't really know what their focus is, but have a good business acumen and ideas that they want to develop. Focuses on developing soft skills training as well as business planning and development. And we can take some of these young men and women who are perhaps prone to engage in activity or negative engagement with law enforcement and manage their time better for them so that they can be living productive lives as citizens of Nashville Davidson County. But that's there, as well as, lastly, these two things are tangentially related to what I call proactive public safety and simply being able to provide opportunities to address the root causes of criminal activity and addressing that mindset, all right, using the community policing model and other research-based models. As I said to you, I bring a social scientist approach to the role as the council at large person, all right? You can find that there. But look, hey, if you're there, you see this thing that says online giving. I'd be happy for you tonight. We have about 10 days before our next quarterly report. And if you could help us reach our goal, our financial goal of $10,000 within the next 24, 72 hours, I would greatly appreciate it. Any bit that you can give would be greatly appreciated. click on there and make your contribution. It's a secure link with Anandot, which is a very secure site for churches, for nonprofits, as well as political campaigns to make contributions. I know a lot of people are very crazy about making such contributions, but if you will, it would be a great benefit to us. And if you're not so happy with that, you can give me a call off air at the website. If you go under more, click under more, you'll see where it says join the campaign. All right? Once you click on the join the campaign link, it will take you directly to the bottom of the page where you can either send the mail, give me a call. I'll be happy to come by and greet you and to receive your contribution, or just send us an email there. Dockery, number 4, metrocouncil@gmail.com. All right? Two numbers there. There's a campaign number, which generally it's on from 8 to 5 during the week during the campaign season. And then my personal phone, 615-498-4669. All right? Tonight, give me a call right now, or shoot me a text, or shoot me a post on Facebook. You can give me a call right now, tonight, at 657-383-0944. Love to address your question or comment that you might have. Perhaps you don't have any. We worked hard to create a website that was informative and interactive and friendly to you as a constituent so that you can understand. I've said this before. Quite often, politicians have a tendency to tell you what they're going to do. Seldomly do they explain to you how they're going to do it. Once they get in office, we're stuck with them. I said we because I've been voting all my adult life. One of the reasons I'm running now is because I voted for people. And not only did I speak about what I thought would be helpful, but I put it on paper and shared it with them, and it's fallen on deaf ears. But now, the difference between me and a politician, although I recognize I'm in a political process, the election, but the difference is I'm an advocate for you, the constituent. And as such, my primary focus and goal is not just to get your vote, to get an office, but to represent your best interests, to be open and honest with you about the realities, what we can and can't do, based on constraints from the Metro Charter, from Tennessee Code Annotated, and yes, even the United States of America. We must be honest with you, even when it hurts. A gentleman used to tell me about his grandfather who said, I'm going to tell this truth, even if I have to sleep in the street. But nonetheless, we still have about another 25 minutes or so. Go ahead and give us a call. Just give us a shout out. Say hello to us there. Do so on Facebook. We'll be happy to entertain you there. So I think you got the gist of what we're talking about in terms of our topic of discussion tonight, and that is how voting precincts can be unified. Well, why the voting precinct? Typically because, again, that is the smallest delineation of political boundary. In each of our 35 council districts, there are determined or set aside, laid out voting precincts that make them up. And your council person should represent the unified interests of the constituents of a specific voting precinct, and then all of them collectively. And if there is no agenda, if there's no vision, it's difficult for the people to know how and what hold your elected official accountable to. And this is why I bring this to you tonight. One of the things I want to do, again, as a consensus builder, to assist, not be obstructionist, being obstructionist or get in the way of your council person, but to work with them to identify what best serves you, your neighborhood, on your street, on your block, in your precinct, your voting precinct. All right? think we have about 161 voting precincts in Davidson County altogether. And each of you deserve and need to be well represented. As we still await calls, we still have a few minutes, so you can give us a call here, 657-383-0944. And I'm looking to see if there's someone who has, I don't see anyone calling in just yet, 657-383-0944. We still have about another 20 minutes or so before we wrap up tonight's session. If you happen to come across this on our website, you click the link, you can hear it live from the podcast from blogtalkradio.com, or you happen to follow this live stream, this Facebook live stream, you can feel free to contact me afterwards. As I mentioned, we went to the website, constituentadvocacy.com, and I encourage you to look over, hover over the tab that says More. And what it did was click on Join the Campaign. Very bottom of the page, there's some contact information, how you can register with the campaign. We'll be happy to have your volunteer services as we go out in your particular voting precinct, share with your neighbors about this, about what we're trying to do for Nashville as a whole, as a council of law enforcement. Most importantly, in order for this to happen, I need your vote. For the whole of us, we give. You got to have your vote. Okay? And with that, you can hold me to a great account. Look out for your best interests, our local government, probably Nashville, Davidson County. Council, that is. All right? My number, call me, offline, is 615-498-4669, or you give us a shout at 615-478-4233. That's the campaign number. And generally, it's on throughout the week and the weekend from about 8 to 5. Tomorrow. Where are you going to be tomorrow, Dr.? I'll be at Bordeaux Public Library at around 10 o'clock. We'll be doing a brief presentation there for the Royal Hills Neighborhood Association, where we'll be talking about describing just how we would work with their respective council person there. And this is a model for work we would do throughout all 35 the council district. Again, not getting in that person's way, but providing support for them and the constituents that they represent as an at-large council person. Outside of that, we'll be working to support legislation. We really don't propose legislation directly for the respective council district. That's the role of the council person. But what we do is we look to support it and to support resolutions and things, and again, to work as a collective body. 1962, that's why the city council decided to have in the charter role of five. You get to vote for five of us, council at large person, because now we are at 600 and, according to the last census, about 650-some thousand plus souls that make up Nashville-Davidson County. A large area. In fact, I think we're the second largest in the southeast here, but not the first now. Close to Memphis now. And they had the wisdom to know that there's a need to support those council persons in addressing all of the needs of all of Nashville Davidson County. Okay? And that's what our role is, basically. Having said that, we'll go with that. Let me look and see while you can. I'll still wait here on you. And I'm going to check to see if there's someone who perhaps has left a comment or question on Facebook. I don't see one here, but give me one second. And yes, Ms. Tony, feel free to give me a question. Christy Moore, thank you for checking in with us. Do you have a question or comment? Shoot it to us. Just say hello to us. Send us a shout there and say hello to us here. Before we leave tonight, we appreciate that. Ms. Tony and Ms. Moore, thank you guys for joining us here. I hope that we're providing information that is useful to you, to all of our constituents of Nashville, Davidson County. That is our goal. That is our simple goal, to best represent your interests. We still got time. There's still time. There's still time. Shoot me a comment here. Let me just... Are we live? Right. Very well. So I'm just going to reiterate the fact that I can use your support financially. Any dollar amount is good. And if you could do that right now, go to your make your online contribution at constituentadvocacy.com. When you go there, click on the online giving page. It will take you directly to a very secure site. Canon.org is the source that we're using that will allow us to receive your support, and that will help us get the word out in the last 3 weeks so that we have for August 1st. Again, we will be out, and you can find us at the Howard Office Building on tomorrow from 1 o'clock p.m. to about 4, and we'll from 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, around 10 o'clock, I'll be at the Bordeaux Public Library at 4000 Clotsville Pike. We're doing a presentation there specifically for the Royal Hills Neighborhood Association. I don't think they mind if you come and sit in on that if you're part of any part of Nashville. Feel free to give me a call, and I'll be happy to come out to you and share with you in any way. That's what, if you'd like for us to come to your home, to your neighborhood, give me a call. I'm happy. That's what we're all about here. But more importantly, it's about getting the word out there, and we want to encourage you to keep following us here on Facebook at Constituent Advocacy Group. And we appreciate, again, all of you for your conscious decision to follow us there. If you want to, you still got a few minutes, feel free to give us a call or give me a Facebook post, a question or comment. Just say hello to us here if you're following us live on live stream. After which, feel free to post a question or comment after the show ends tonight, and I'll be happy to respond to that. I will be checking it time to time. Be happy to respond to your question or comment, and we can set up a one-on-one type deal, or if you and your neighbors want to have us to come to your home or to your area, give me a holler. Glad to do that. This is your candidate for Council at Large, Metropolitan Davidson County. General election on August 1st, Reuben Dockery. And the whole point of this dialogue tonight is for us to engage with one another, for you to know from me, hear straight from the horse's mouth, what you going to do for me, Dockery? I vote for you, what can I expect? And that's why we're having this conversation on this live podcast discussion with candidate Reuben Dockery, so that you'll be able to hear that directly again from the horse's mouth. You don't have to take nobody's word for it. I'm open and transparent. We're willing to engage at any point. Grateful for, we've had at least 16 or 17 neighborhoods, groups that we've come and spoke to. Great conversation. Appreciate them for inviting us and having us out. And we still, even though we have 3 weeks in the election, give me a call. Some people are still waiting to determine who. Had a young lady just send me a very heartfelt email and asked me to answer 8 questions for her. We did the best we could to respond accordingly. That's what it's really all about. You know, voter education leads to voter empowerment. It allows you to hold me and anyone else you happen to elect accountable, okay, to the office that we represent. Okay, and I still don't see any comments there, but that's fine. That's fine. I hope that the information is useful to you. If that's what it's designed for, feel free after the this live podcast is over to go to Facebook and post any of your questions, comments that you may have. I'll be happy to entertain them and address them accordingly. Because that's what this is really all about. This is about you, more about you than it is about me. With that being said, we are winding down our time. Again, I want to reiterate that by way of announcement, early vote has started today, and it has completed already. Tomorrow, early voting, you can get there from 8 to 4 p.m., and there are several sites. On my website, I've listed the schedule for early voting. You can go there and click it. Let's see, how do you find that? Where do I find that schedule at Duffy? Well, go back to our home page. Why don't you? And let's see, we have it down here with additional resources. On the additional resource page, you go there and you'll find those three PowerPoint presentations, excuse me, that I referenced earlier, as well as the previous shows. Okay, it looks like we moved that. So we'll put that right back there, the early voting schedule, right back on this page for you. We'll do that tonight. But you'll also find the previous podcast, live podcast presentation that we've done, including tonight. After tonight, you'll find it there as well. You'll have to click on Facebook to open it up. You have to open it up in your Facebook group, and then you can follow that live podcast previously recorded there. The Tennessean interviewed us, and under the Meet the Candidate page, you will find that live interview with both the Tennessean and a group called vote.usa.org, voteusa.org, I'm sorry. Both of those are there, and you can see those next. Again, I'll make sure that we put the voting schedule back on that additional resource page and, so that you'll be able to, for your convenience. All righty. With that, if there be nothing else, we'll keep the phone lines open here for another 5 minutes or so for you to get back with us. Our music tonight. The extraordinary jazz saxophonist Earl Sanders. His cut titled Equinox, a rather smooth piece. You may have noticed that over the last two episodes we have featured various jazz artists. Good music helped soothe the average piece. No bias because I speak as a musician myself, but we're grateful that they have left such a legacy for us all to benefit from. Okay, let's see. I don't see where anyone has posed any questions or comments, so nonetheless, we want to thank Shanita for post there. And all of those of you that perhaps are watching us live without commenting, I'm grateful for that as well. And I do encourage you to give us a call offline tonight, 615-498-4669. Shoot me an email, Valkyrie4MetroCouncil@gmail.com. That's Valkyrie, D-O-C-K-E-R-Y. Metro Council@gmail.com. We'll be happy to answer your question. I'm going to check one more time to see if we have any questions that I am missing. Okay. All right. And I don't think we do. ConstituentAdvocacy.com is a website. I want to encourage you to go there, and you can learn a great deal more. I realize that Friday night is a night that when you get off of work, you want to just go cool your heels. But we designed this to, again, be an opportunity for you to engage me and to learn more about what it is that we're going to do. We leave you tonight. Your candidate, for Metro Council Lodge, Reuben Dobbs. I leave you with Pharaoh Francis, his piece, Keep One Out. Thank you.